Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello there. I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I want to welcome all of our Christian Television Network audience and our wonderful partners and sponsors around the nation, around the world. We're so excited to be able to have our new sponsors coming on from the Emerald Coast area, and we look forward to talking about them a little bit later on today. But also joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
I am pumped. I am so glad to be able to be here. I've been being so blessed by understanding, you know, Nehemiah.
Yeah.
And if you miss any part of Nehemiah, you can catch the entire, I believe, a now word for us, the church, you know, rebuilding the church in America, learning from the ways and words and conviction and the call that and the humility that Nehemiah had on his life. So make sure you get that. You can get that. Go to VFNTV.com. But also you can get that at on the app as well. I believe you go to series and that type of thing and see it. But man, there are some major things going on in the world today. We're going to be covering, hopefully, in today's programs, four programs back to back. You don't want to miss them. And don't forget, if you just catch one, you can catch another one on at VFNTV.com or on our app out there. But also, I mean, Ukraine, what's taking place in Ukraine, the former breadbasket of Europe, you know, and as part of the strategy, I believe, of Stalin years ago to be able to shut down the breadbasket and keep them from farming food back then. And that's how he took over. He killed millions of folks by doing that. And now you have Vladimir Putin trying to take over Ukraine today. But the exciting thing is that a Christian leader, it looks like, is the one that came out during all of this difficulty that's taking place, you know, over there. And it was sad, the loss of life and what's going on. But it was exciting to see that, my goodness, people stand up for freedom. It's been such a rarity we've been noticing and our surroundings lately. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, we're going to talk more about the Ukraine today and what's taking place over there. Also, we'll be talking about, you know, positive thinking about, you know, giving yourself permission to be able to think about, you know, good things. And because there's so much negative things that are taking place in society and the news cycle and all these different things, that you got to make an effort to be able to think about the positive things taking place. In addition, there's this one video we're going to show you. It's a powerful video. And I believe it was, I'll tell you who it is a little bit later on. But they were putting together to be able to raise funds for the children in Syria, the orphan children in Syria. We got so much we're going to be talking to you about, but it's just going to bless your heart. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Hi, I work in a major retail store in Massachusetts on the overnight shift.
Okay.
And we're allowed to have our radios down low in our aisles that we stock, but I was told that I cannot have any religious music, that it was in our handbook that they gave us, which I looked in the handbook, and it is not there at all.
What about other music? Is other music being played by other employees?
Any other kind but religious, which is me, which I'm a Christian.
Well, privately owned companies have a lot of rights that public institutions would not. But one thing is, I think they've got it wrong. They probably think, somebody in human resources thinks, that allowing Christian music to be played while you're doing work are somehow a violation of the law. And that's just not the case. And they've got it wrong here, I'm to be quite blunt.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton. I am so excited about hearing, well, I guess the outcome, but not the ultimate thing. We always talk about not only to know the news, but we need to know what to do with the news that we know. You may be watching the news cycle, not understanding, you know, what's taking place here and what's the ramifications of it. And as you notice, the world's getting smaller and smaller and everything affects everything. But in the Ukraine, the president in Ukraine, and which was a free country who broke away and got their freedom from Russia, the president tried to go back up under Russia again. And as many things that we've been seeing, you know, you look like, oh my goodness, uh-huh. You know, and the church prayed there. And the Congress heard what the people, they heard the people said, we don't want to go back up under that kind of oppression again. We mm-hmm. want to be able to be free. As a matter of fact, listen to CBN News right here. It's just going to bless your heart.
Many of you today probably feel the same as I do. There are a lot of tears in our hearts.
At one of Kiev's largest evangelical churches, Pastor Anatoly Kaluzhny tries to comfort a grieving congregation.
To be honest, I am not euphoric. My heart is aching because our nation has paid a big price in blood.
Ukrainians have been mourning the more than 100 people killed in clashes between riot police and protesters. And that sadness settles over a country facing dramatic political changes. After 3 months of protests, anti-government demonstrators are now in power. On Saturday, Ukraine's parliament stunned the nation by voting overwhelmingly to impeach President Viktor Yanukovych, who then fled the capital city. Hours later, members of parliament picked Oleksandr Turchynov, a prominent evangelical Christian, as interim president until new elections in May.
Christians were praying on Independence Square. We were praying in our churches. People around the world were praying for us, and God did a miracle. Ukraine is a new country.
And to give you a sense of just how dramatic the changes have been, a few days ago, this entire street was completely filled by the so-called Ukrainian Berkut, the police. Today, you have dozens of men. You can take a look all the way down. These are ordinary folks who have taken up position in front of the parliament.
What happens next is very uncertain. As lawmakers scramble to put together a coalition government, skepticism abounds. That includes former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, free after spending the last 30 months in prison.
We need to totally change the government. We need a whole new set of leaders. We don't need the rich oligarchs back in power. They need to go.
Ukraine's neighbor, Russia, closely watches the changes. It has huge economic ties here, and President Vladimir Putin has publicly talked about bringing Ukraine back into its political orbit. The protesters instead want closer ties with Europe. On Sunday, America warned Russia not to even think about sending troops into Ukraine. Back at Pastor Kaluzhny's church, a plea for reconciliation after months of turmoil.
We need to unite because the society is divided, east and west, north and south. We need to come together and make very important decisions in the days ahead.
I know some of you say, well, what's with Ukraine? Like, who cares? I want to show you a map just to give you a sense of the strategic location. You see, there's Russia, and right there's that huge country of Ukraine. It's a gigantic country, but look, it borders on Belarus, it borders on Poland, it borders on Slovakia, borders on Hungary, borders on Romania. It is a strategic port on the Black Sea, and it is probably one of the most fertile areas of agriculture in the whole world. So when Stalin came in with his collectivization, he starved out the Ukrainians and took away their food. But nevertheless, they want freedom. And it's just amazing. The Russians want it because, you see, Putin wants to reestablish the former Soviet Union. He wants greater Russia. He wants hegemony. And right in the middle of the triumph of that Winter Olympics, they pull this thing away from him. I mean, it's one of those ironies of history. Now, George Thomas is over in Kiev, the capital of the Ukraine. And George, tell us about that interim president. That comes as quite a shock.
Yeah, it was stunning. He was, in essence, he's 50 years old. His name is Oleksandr Turchynov, and he has a long political career, Pat. He's a close ally of the former opposition leader, Yulia Tymoshenko, who was just released a few days ago after spending 30 months in prison. But clearly, as I've spent time on Maidan, on Independence Square, people are talking about Turchynov because he was there. He was there from the beginning, ever since November when the riots began, when the demonstrations began. He was there calling for Yanukovych to step down. So he has emerged clearly as a central figure in all of the upheaval that's taking place today in Ukraine.
Well, George, they're going to have elections very soon. Is it Tymoshenko? Right. Is she the front runner, or is this gentleman going to be running and he might be the next full-time president?
Yeah, excellent question, Pat. You know, there's ambivalence toward Yulia because, you know, people remember she represents, Pat, so much of the old guard. And many of the folks, the majority of the folks I have spoken to say, listen, we want young people. We need fresh blood. We need folks who are not tied to the oligarchs, these rich families that they accuse of controlling the wealth of this country.
This is so amazing as we're watching freedom. We're watching freedom where people said, you know, we don't want to lose the freedom that we have here. And that's so encouraging because it reminds me of the birth of America and how, you know, that basically the people that were in America just said, you know, we don't want to lose our freedom. And over again, mm-hmm. they didn't stand for something different than what was going on. That was that's their constitution. They were just saying this is unconstitutional. You know, you can't just hand over, you're a president. You can't just hand over our country to some other, you know, Vladimir from Russia here. I mean, what are you doing? And what's so cool, remember, we talked about this in the original 10, if you haven't heard it yet. If y'all can go ahead and if you can make this map up there.
All right.
That Congress, remember, Congress is the representation of you. Mm-hmm. They're the representation of you. Well, we don't want to go to it just yet, but Congress is the representation of you that they represent 200 and something.
There's 500 something congressmen, but I think it's every 700,000 in the population.
No, it's 200 and something thousand for every representative.
700.
Is it 700,000?
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about that. That's the smallest representation that you get, a representative for every 700,000 people in your state. And what happened is when you look at the Congress in Ukraine, they saw what the people that they represent were saying was, this is the wrong direction for this nation. This is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. That they immediately said, you know, we need to respond to our people who we represent. They represented them. And so they just instantly said, okay, this is unconstitutional. And they made a shift in government. And next thing you know, they're headed back in the direction, the original intent of the nation there. Mm-hmm. It was amazing what took place right there. And it's like, that was all constitutional. It was all within the rights of the people. And the representatives, obviously, like, they represented the people really well. The sad thing is about the life that was lost. But they were talking about, I think it's Torchinov, that Torchinov, I think it's his name. I can't speak Ukrainian. But he's a Christian, a minister, a Christian, that is now standing in the gap for this president's space that's now vacated. And it's like the church prayed. And it's just exciting. I want to encourage you. Don't throw your hands up. I mean, think how negative that looked, mm-hmm. how bad that looked when you're looking at, it's something that you've done in your past. We used to be a part of Russia. We used to be a part of all this oppression, so it kind of fits our DNA. So we could easily fall back to that particular area. And then, all of a sudden, the economy's not going well, and these the wealthy folks got into office, and they started trying to run everything in a certain way. And they could have just said, oh, well, we're going to go back. Just let it go. But they just began to pray. Mm-hmm. I mean, it came so close, and it's still on the edge. It came so close to just going back to who they used to be up under a communism where, they pushed God out of the picture there, unless mm-hmm. you had described God the way that, they wanted to describe God. And they prayed, and look what happened. The people rose up. And I really believe that, just like Dr. King said in America, that there's more good people in America. Their hearts are good. You just don't hear them right now.
Right.
And that they're not going to let this country leave. They're going to stand up and say, this is the Constitution. This is what we stand for, one nation under God, and begin to pray. And we've been praying for years now, asking God to save this nation.
That's right.
We've been praying, for ourselves, that we would repent and turn, and encouraging others to turn back to the voice of God and to hear him. But if you know the history of the Ukraine, you can see this map right here. It's a very large, large country. And it used to be known as the breadbasket of Europe. And that's exactly what America used to be known as, the breadbasket. And it was part of Russia's. Well, they lost that when they got their independence. But you can imagine this entire country coming back up under Putin again. And he was offering them fuel incentives and said that we will give you entitlements. We will entitle you to cheap gas. Isn't that amazing? His goal was to take over, to offer Ukrainians $15 billion in entitlements. I mean, he wasn't giving them like cash. He was going to say, uh-huh. we got gas, we'll give it to you cheap, like Chavez did. Uh-huh. And this president was really thinking about going that way. And it's like, entitlements, freedom, loss of a nation. We got to be so careful about, we want to be able to help people out, but if somebody's trying to take your freedom and take your nation, you don't want to just take it, even if you have to ride horses again. Mm. Lord forbid.
Lord help us.
but I think about Stalin. When you go back and study the history, when Stalin wanted to take over, what he did was he began to control the food source. And the way he did that was to, since Ukraine was the breadbasket, he would, this large nation here is the breadbasket, that he began to control how food was grown, how much food was grown, telling the farmers, you can't grow this, you can't eat this. And literally the breadbasket began to starve.
Wow.
They began to starve. And millions of folks died because of that technique. Mm-hmm. And it's like sometimes people think the only way that people can take over something, a nation or whatever, is by a gun or by force. But the reality is the biggest way to take anything over is with a lie. I got a better way. Mm-hmm. And the breadbasket got starved. They literally had all this ability to grow food, but they were so controlled by the government. And that's how he took over.
Wow.
He took over through starvation. So when you start looking at food shortages and that type of thing, and you heard us talk about it, what does this mean to us in America? Well, let's set that aside for a moment. As Christians, it means everything to us that your brothers and sisters, your Ukrainian brothers and sisters, were facing a giant coming in to be able to take over their land. And they stood up and they prayed, and God heard, and God moved and gave them favor. And the cost was, I don't know, they say 75 or 90 lives that were, they were just taking shots right off the roof, these sharpshooters from Ukrainian government. It's so confusing at a time like that because, you know, one day you're a law enforcement officer and you're military and you're defending a nation, and next thing you know, if the leadership goes away from the nation and you're working for the leadership, you're like, you're caught between this. What do I do at this point? Mm-hmm. And they were shooting them in the head. They shot the protesters in the head. They shot them in the lungs. They shot them in the heart. And just shooting right off the roof.
Wow.
And there's a way to shoot somebody in the leg. I mean, if you're a sharpshooter, you're laying on your belly on the roof and you got a clear shot, you don't have to shoot somebody in the head, the lung. You know, you can just, you know, if you're going to shoot, you can shoot the wound. And, but they still stood. They stood. They didn't let it go. And it's like, oh my goodness. I just like so proud of the Ukrainians that they held fast to who they were as a free people. And it's a little shaky right now. They're talking about it could split, you know, the whole nation could split. But it's sort of like somebody saying, you know, that you have a cancerous tumor. You can stay together with your cancerous tumor, or we can actually cut off this cancerous tumor. And some people say, oh, I can't believe that that person's going to split up from that cancer. And it's like, sometimes things need to split.
Exactly.
You know, as a matter of fact, I think California just went through some particular adjustments based on some news reports that they've already working through the concept of splitting up California, I think in 6 different states.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I really believe, I don't know how that's going to happen and all, but if they were willing to do that, that the parts of it that says we're going to stand for God could be a huge difference. You'd watch. It'd be like, you know, Haiti, when you go down there to Haiti and you see the Dominican and how I really feel that in my heart. If they made those kind of decisions, said, if that's the way you're going to go, you know, I want to divide myself off from you. So when people start worrying about Ukraine, you know, splitting, if it's a cancerous communist tumor, and it wants to partner up and buddy up with, you know, Vladimir Putin, if that's the majority of the people in that part of the Ukraine, you know, let them have it.
Yeah.
Because if somebody says, well, that just cuts things back. Well, look at the size of Israel. It doesn't. Everybody tries to get the crowd thing going. But the truth is, you could be Israel standing with God, and God's going to protect you, even if your widest point of your country is 60, 70 miles wide. And you can be blessed. The thing about it is we can't sell out God, you know, for what we think it has to be. And we just want to pray for the Ukrainians today. And so as a Christian, we want to, you know, just looking at it as a perspective, what does that mean to us? It means that God heard the prayers of our brothers and sisters and turned this thing. And also the fact is that it could cost you. It could cost you to stand. And we have to be ready for that every day law enforcement officers risk their life to be able to protect us so that we can go to Starbucks or we can go shopping or we can go take our kids to school. And you may not lay your life down every day like that and at risk, but every day law enforcement officers do that.
That's right.
The military goes out and they defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign enemies. And they risk their lives every day, and they're in caskets come home with their bodies at times. So the reality is our brothers and sisters and our fellow citizens are defending us every day with their life. But we as American citizens all should pledge an allegiance to the flag and to the Constitution. As Christians, we should have an allegiance to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And at that time, sometimes having an allegiance means it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And I was just so there, and you're hearing the news report how broken they are, but I don't know where it's a time to celebrate because we had such loss, but it's all these mixed feelings. But the biggest thing that happened, it didn't go over to darkness.
Right.
And that's amazing. That's encouraging. So what does that mean to us as Americans and American Christians and Americans? I mean, that we can be proud of our relationship with God again, and we can be proud of our Constitution.
Yeah.
That it's not illegal for you to support the laws of the land. It's actually, think about that. It's not illegal for you to support the laws of the land. We are a nation of laws. Take the citizenship test. If you haven't taken it, and we talked about it over the radio a couple of days, it's amazing, you know, that people that are new citizens know more about our country than people that have been living in this country for a long time. We are a nation of laws. everything that happens, happens. It has to fit. It's supposed to fit the Constitution. So it's not illegal for you to say, listen, let's live by the Constitution. Let's hold everything to the fire of the Constitution. If it doesn't stand, let it go. And we can see as these Ukrainians stood for their Constitution and their freedom and the things that they went through. I mean, in the very beginning, I remember their one of their leaders got poisoned. Had they some mysterious thing happened where in his blood he been had, they just obviously, mm-hmm. you know, evil came in and tried to take him out and stop the Ukraine from being free. And he cost him his life. He died from an attack, a chemical attack in his body.
Oh, wow.
And you saw his capillary showing, and it was just, it was terrible. But he held on, he fought through, and it was just amazing to see what took place. We want to remember Ukraine today in our prayers. They should encourage us as Americans to say, you know what? We need to stand up for freedom. We need to stand up for the Constitution. As Christian Americans, we need to pray for our leaders, and we need to be in contact with our representatives who represent us. And look what those representatives did in the Ukraine. That's how you should be in contact with your representatives and say, listen, we want you to represent us like that. If anybody ever tries to take our country, tries to take us away from our Constitution, from the very thing that holds us together and everything is streams from that, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up and do the tough work. I want you to stand up for the Constitution and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic.
Oh my goodness! Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue, a taste of Southern soul on Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right-hand side. Come on in and get some. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay. As long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam. I mean, you know, you remember the jury comes in and the judge ordering the court, they open the little piece of paper where your whole life can just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in, and Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet. And you move on. This is the relationship. You can't, if you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God, you don't even have a concept of him. And secondly, you might not even know him. Besides, forced relationship by our own laws is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice. Which is so cool because God wants to be with you.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome you to Christian Television Network and the VFN TV and Daily Radio Program, shouting out around the nation and around the world, and even on the Emerald Coast and the Gulf Coast area down there. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
If you missed our earlier program, you need to catch it. You know, getting a perspective of God's news behind the news with Ukraine. What does that really mean? If you want to be encouraged, if you want to know where you need to pray, but if you want to be encouraged, to see how the Ukrainian people stood up for their constitution, to see how the Ukrainian church, the church in Ukraine, prayed, and how the representatives listened to the people. It was just amazing. It was amazing to see, you know, what they did and how they stood up. And it'll encourage you as an American. You say, you know what? You know, I don't need to be silent anymore. I need to stand up for the law. So you need to catch that in the earlier program. We're going to be talking about in this program today. Don't forget, we're four programs back to back, and you can catch the fullness of them if you missed one or two of them or part of them at vfntv.com or on our app there. But about happiness, when you think about, you know, what does it mean to be happy? Pat, talk to us. Talk to us and tell me, Mr. Happy Man. This is bubbling over. Maybe we should ask Steve.
Yeah, you might want to.
Happy. What does happiness mean to you?
What does it mean?
Other than the Saints winning the Super Bowl.
Usually something happens that, you know, just gives you excitement and, you know, and temporary relief from, you know, life. Usually it's pretty momentary. It doesn't last a long time.
It doesn't?
Mm-mm.
And what does your happy look like?
Oh, when the Saints won the Super Bowl. No.
Well, that was one heavy look.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago.
Oh, you're counting?
I don't know. Maybe more than that.
Happiness.
What does it look like?
What does your happy look like?
I got like one eyebrow goes up, maybe.
That's probably about it. It's real difficult, but if you watch, it's sort of like a tremor in the tectonic plates. It kind of moves really slow, but you need the, what do they call that, Geiger counter to be able to see any movement taking place in the facial shift, the facial plates. But what does it mean? I mean, think about it. So many people are trying to be happy, and of course, happiness is fading. But when you think about the science of fading, and it's about study, and that's what we're going to talk about today, about, you know, happiness. And it's important, you know, first I want to be able to show this video. You got to see this thing. We're going to show it to you there on Christian Television Network. And if you miss it, you can catch it on the torch at vfntv.com or at vfntv.com. You can see it. And but it's a powerful, simple look at, you know, what does it mean to be happy? You know, what does it mean to be happy? And they did a study right here, and you got to check this out. And then we're going to talk more about it, because we want to be able to think, you know, what does God say about happiness? Let's check it out.
I was in the police academy, and I got injured.
I ended up that my grandpa has prostate cancer.
I lost my dad in January of this past year.
On April 19th, I faced a life-threatening surgery, which had caused me to be paralyzed. And my major concern was that I could not walk again. But as you see, I am here, and I've got work to do.
Glass is half full. Could have been worse. Look on the bright side. When life knocks you down, these are the things you hear people say. I mean, there's no way what they're telling you could actually be helpful, could it? Well, buckle up, because psychologists have found that a substantial amount of your happiness in life is determined by your ability to focus on the positive. We gathered a group of volunteers who experienced a significant and sometimes difficult life event in the past year. First, we handed them a test to gauge their current level of happiness. Now, in order to be super scientific, we split them into two groups, a control group and a variable group. Now, what about that control group? Well, we asked them to think about something that they had no opinion on whatsoever. They didn't feel too strongly about it one way or the other. And then we asked them to share that story with us.
So here's what I wrote. I found apples to be rather neutral because they don't really taste particularly good or bad.
I think the color yellow is a nice color. People like the color yellow because it looks very nice, and that's all I had to say about yellow.
I think they're rather bland and fairly innocuous looking. They're cheap to purchase, which helps to make up for the rather obvious lack of flavor.
The feeling I get when I watch a show that I think is just okay when I really don't want to watch it is a feeling of not wanting to be there, wanting to get up and just get ready to go.
And I think overall the pros and cons of this fruit tend to balance itself out when compared to other fruits, and hence that was why I chose this apple.
For the variable group, we brought them in, sat them down, and asked them to think of a recent time in their life when they experienced something positive, maybe something they achieved, something good that happened to them, something good they did for somebody else. The idea was to put them in a positive state of mind. We asked them to focus on the details and three strengths that they had. Of those three, we told them to choose their biggest strength and tell us a story that showed off that quality of theirs. Would you mind reading for us what you wrote?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I wrote, I have a top-notch quality of caring and being sympathetic with those people close to me.
I have a talent for and a gift for helping young people who don't like school, helping them to become intelligent and enjoy learning.
The one quality I like most about myself is that I'm very caring towards other people. I do a lot of volunteer work, which is good for the person in need and lifts my spirits immensely.
My most strongest strength is my knowledge. Not only because it's a tool I use on a daily basis, but also because it's a tool that helps me get myself out of a lot of trouble.
My favorite part of my personality is basically my self-motivation. Because when a lot of people doubt me and tell me that I can't do stuff, I just take the stuff that people say I can't do and use it as motivation, and then just prove them wrong in the end.
The one thing I ask everyone to do is to be your authentic self. Stand up and be who you are no matter what. What you think of me is no concern of mine.
I deliver for the Meals on Wheels program at the Senior Center, and I love seeing my elderly recipients each week. They truly light up my day, and I don't feel complete without giving them a big hug and making sure everything is A-okay with them.
Recently, a friend of mine, his father also died, and I was able to come together and help him with his mourning and with his understanding process of death, and to let him know that, you know, you're not alone and it hurts like hell, but you'll get through it with the help of good friends, and that's what life's all about, just overcoming and advancing.
Well, my uncle was doubting me, calling me dumb and stuff like that. And then they was telling me I wasn't going to pass the California High School Exit Exam. I was a dummy, I was a failure, and other stuff like that. But then I passed it. So then that was when I just realized that all the doubts that people give me, I just use it as a motivation and just use it to keep moving on.
When they were finished, we had them take another test. After they finished, we measured their happiness again to see what kind of effect the positivity exercise had. Now, keep in mind, our findings show an instantaneous increase in happiness. Changes ranged as high as 43% increases in happiness to drops as low as 31%. And for those who did the exercise, we saw a much narrower range. For some people, happiness went up 18%, and the lowest drop was as little as 6%. So, maybe instead of focusing on your weaknesses, you should focus on your strengths instead. What are your strengths? When was the last time you really got to show it off and use it? Let us know in a video response. We'll do something awesome with it.
This is amazing. When a simple view of, you know, what you know makes you happy, the science of happiness. We're going to talk more about this when we get back from this break, because as Christians, you know, we get, what is happiness? What is joy? I mean, and we'll talk more about it, because he's, remember this, you know, whatever you focus on, that's what you become. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'll never forget I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, if there, you know, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded within inside of me. I go, whoa, I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing, that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking, thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little step. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because he is the word.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com. I'm going to say, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton, and we are talking about the science of happiness, and that's from Soul Pancakes, which you just saw or you just heard. You can actually see it at VFNTV.com and click on the torch. And if you're watching this on Christian Television Network, you saw it. And it's really cool to watch, you know, people talk about happiness. And it boiled down to, you know, whatever you think about, whatever you focus on. Mm-hmm. And you got to ask yourself, you know, what have you thought about? And, you know, what has been in your mind? And what you can find out what you've been thinking about, you can actually look at yourself and think about what have I been acting like? What have I been feeling like? You know, do I even see a future? Do I see, and you think about it, you know, with today, life gets so busy that you can say, well, I just think about all the stuff that I have to do. And it's like, well, I can totally relate to that. But, you know, if we want to, you know, have a witness as a Christian about the joy of God and about being, you know, having a form of joy and happiness, it's like, you know, how do we master this thing? Because everybody's created the same. You know, Christians are not different human beings. You know, Christians are people that have said, you know what? I need a savior. I need Jesus. And they make Jesus the Lord of their life and ask for forgiveness, and Jesus forgives us, and then he leads us, and just he's beautiful in how he does everything. He's Lord of our life. And but we're still human beings. And so we have to, we struggle sometimes with happiness and with joy. And he says, you know, do not let your hearts be troubled. That he's overcome. He's overcome the storms in this life. And happiness comes, you know, whatever we focus on. I mean, you look at the news cycle. Nobody ever thought 24-hour news cycle would be something that would be successful. Or even, believe it or not, I know this is probably hard for a lot of the audience that's listening or viewing, that even self-service gas, where somebody would, you'd get out of your car and pump your own gas. They, you know, thought that wouldn't make it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you know, today there are so many things coming at us. You literally have to grab a hold of what it takes to change your focus. You have to spend time in meditating on the right focus. And even if you have 1,000 tasks and responsibilities that are not pleasant, but you still have to do them, you're going to have to make time to be able to say, you know what? I've got to focus for a while. I got to soak in and I got to see and focus on what is pleasing, what is joyful, you know, what is happiness. And because if you don't, it's like the enemy just wants to steal through all the things that come at you in life. It's just, you will not be happy. There will be no joy in your life, you know, and it's like Job's experiences one after the other. And especially in the task modes of life. And it's like, you know, we're called to be joyful. We're called to be, so it's like, man, what are we doing when we're not happy? You know, obviously I'm not as bubbly as Pat is, you know, but I try to get there.